Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror. In 3, 2, and 1. Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here. Hey, it's a great start to the new year. I'm really excited about a lot of things. But on this show, we're taking it away from the wrestling a little bit. We're going to go back to haunt and horror. And we've got a special guest with us this weekend, whatever day it is, I don't care. I've got Mike Newsom. Mike is big in the haunt industry. I've known him for years, highly respect him. He's a good guy. And Donnie Hoover is the one who brought him on here. And so, Mike, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on here. About time.
It is about time. It is. And Donnie, I can't forget you. What's going on?
Oh, not much. What's going on, everybody? I was like, yeah, Mike, it took us, what, 3 or 4 tries to get you on here?
A few times, yeah.
We have, but, you know, we finally got you on here. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit of, you know, we're going to talk a horror, but we're going to talk character development. But we're also going to blend it in with wrestling, too. So it's going to be a good show, I think.
I like it all. So we're all good.
Yeah, he's definitely a wrestle horror person. He likes them both.
Absolutely. You know, when Donnie first mentioned Mike months ago, I was like, let's get him on the show. And it's taken this long, but here he is. So, Mike, let's start out. I mean, let me give you a little bit of your background in the haunt industry.
I've been doing this. I started the home haunt since 2001. And then I went to the actual like haunted attraction in 2005, and I worked at Terra Park with Kelly Collins for all those years from 2005 all the way up till the last year they sold it. So I've been with Kelly since I was 17. But what really got me into it is growing up, there was a house down the street where I used to live at, and on trick or treat, he used to go all out and dress up as Jason Voorhees and chase kids with the chainsaw, and it just struck me, like, that looked really cool. Like, I remember as a kid, like, I want to do that someday. I want to be that guy. I want to be that scary like him. And then over the time, I got older, I started becoming more into it more. I was watching more movies and got into it more. And then one day I just like, you know what, instead of me go trick-or-treating when I was a kid, I was like, let me start passing out candy. Let me go the other way around. Let me start passing out candy and see how this will go. And as a kid, I think I was like 15. I think 15 was my last year I went trick-or-treating, and I was passing out candy, and I was dressing up as a crazy looking cheap monster. And I remember the scares I was getting, and I think that's what done it. And I was like, this is pretty awesome. Just me just sitting down, passing out candy, scaring these kids was awesome. And I was like, I think I got something going on here. So that's pretty much how it all really started.
Okay. Yeah, and I know through our other podcast, when I talk about my history in the haunt business, I always mention that I started out, which I thought I was, I consider myself still a newbie. But I saw something post up on my Facebook wall a month or so ago. It was from like 8 years ago. So I hadn't really realized I'd been playing around, dipping my toe in water that long. But every time I talk about my start in haunting, I always say, yeah, I started at my buddy's home haunt. That's where I started getting the itch. And this Mike Newsom here, this is the guy that I was doing his home haunt for. He just called me out of the blue and said that we need a butcher. We need somebody to fill a spot. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, is there a beer? And he's like, yeah, definitely. I'm like, heck yeah, let's do it. So, and yeah, that's kind of where I got my start. So this is the guy that got me started into it.
Well, you know, I got to say, Mike, you know, I didn't know you when you started Terror Park, but I definitely knew you when you were at Scaratorium.
Yeah.
And, you know, phenomenal characters, creepy as hell. What do you attribute to that? I mean, you created something different every year.
Actually, what happens is all my characters is somehow related to my actual real life. If it's between the names or how they look, it actually has happened to me. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little small story. One of my characters is a toxic character. His name is Pustule. even the name, drool, pus drool. Right. Pus, the face looks like it's got pus coming all the way, coming out everywhere. And when the drool part came out, when I was a teenager, I was trying to start a rock band, and we was called Drool. So I was like, you know what, it'd be pretty cool to have a character that's something I used to try to do and just name him Pus Drool. So that's how the name came upon. But where his looks came, how I became his looks was one day I was out working, I was stocking the bleach, and it fell and got into my eyes. And I went to the hospital, and I remember I was in the hospital bed, and they put tubes in my eyes, and at the end it was like plastic contacts, and it burned. And I was there for 15 minutes when I was laying there on the bed for 15 minutes, I was thinking, this would be cool for a character. How can I make this into a character? And I got with Keith. I'm like, hey, is there any way that we can make like a tube look like coming out of my eye and in some kind of weird looking form? And he was like, we can try to work something out. And after that, that's when I got my head cast made and got a prosthetic made, and then we made it work. And I make it this costume, and that's how my toxic character came upon, named Plus Drool. Just real life things will have to be like real life. Oh, you know what? This would be good for a character. Let me try this for a character. Or things that actually scares me. Like, I'm like, okay, this character would definitely scare me. So let's try this. If it scares me, it should scare someone else.
Right. So you're taking your own fears and turning them against other people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Pretty much.
Perfect. It's, you know, I've seen that a lot. And, you know, that's what I've trained people in acting and such. And I've always told them, take your own fears and turn them against other people.
Oh yeah. And it works because you know that fear. And since you know that fear so well, you know how to, you know, give it to someone else, you know. It's really, really cool on just the way how I became some of my characters is because of that fear, actually. And I love to bring that fear out to other people.
So how did you, I mean, I know working with Kelly so long and you worked and you helped other actors, how did you impress this upon new actors that this is the way that you can make people really scared?
The first thing I tell them is like, you gotta have the passion. Like, if you don't have the passion, then this ain't for you. Because if you have the passion, that will make your character come more alive and will make you more real to the people that you're really this guy. So if you have the passion, your character will be really, really good. And it's not just really good. It's just you're going to come up with your lines better, and you got to have your backstory. There's no way around it. You gotta have a backstory for your character. If you don't have a backstory for your character, then you're just your characters ain't gonna be that good at all.
Right. Yeah. If you put your passion into it, then it'll come out a lot better as opposed to if you're just doing a character you don't even give a crap about.
Mm-hmm. And I tell everybody, I was like, you got to have a backstory, because if more backstory you have, more easy you can come up with things in your head. And pretty much like if someone asks me, hey, Mike, tell me a story when you was a kid, I can come up and tell you a story when I was a kid. You should do that as a character also. So
I agree 100%. You know, when I go to training classes, I impress upon everybody the fact that they need to have a backstory. Because if you have a backstory, if somebody asks you a question about this character, you have an answer.
Yeah.
You know about this character. And most of my characters, I honestly can't say all of my characters, but I can say most of my characters have at least a 2-page backstory so that I can pull off a material. You know, like if they want to know about the Dean, I can tell them how the Dean was created and why he does what he does. But that's so important, because the more the backstory you have, the more believable your character is.
Right. Right. And on top of the backstory, your looks, you gotta have your looks down. And I like to cover my whole body. Right. Like, if it, I don't like show no skin, because that to me, I'm like, I want to look more real than anything also. So if your skin's showing, then you know it's fake. You know that, all right, he's wearing paint, it's a face paint. I like to make people really think I'm this real big crazy monster. So I do whatever it takes to cover my whole skin up. And the big key thing is your face, your teeth. Teeth is number one. If you have teeth, that right there is a big must. People look at teeth and eyes. So those are the two key things I think a character always will needs to focus on is their, for sure, their teeth and your eyes.
Sure. So. Then that's easily solved by exotic lenses and dental distortions.
Yep. And I have a few of those myself, actually.
So I do too. Yeah. So. And if you want to get even deeper into it, my Dean character, who doesn't use teeth, but I wear a silicone mask that, you know, silicone is awesome because it moves with you. I have a CFX meat bag, original meat bag mask, and it moves with me. I can eat with it. I can drink with it. Yeah. And I wear contacts with it. But I have other characters where I use the dental distortions teeth and contacts. But exactly. The less human you look, the better.
Yep. More monster you become.
Right.
And with me is I have to psych myself out on who I really am before I even start. Right. I find myself pacing around back and forth to get in my head, like, I'm this character now. This is who I am. This is my backstory. This is what I'm going to say. If someone's like, hey, you're not scary or so-and-so, I will come back and have a good line to say because I'm this character. Oh, I'm not scary? Well, I don't work here. This ain't my haunted house. Sometimes I like to break what I call the wall.
Right.
Like pretty much when someone says, they know this is fake. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try to kind of push it a little bit. So I'm going to try to make this more real than you think. So I do push it sometimes. I'm shocked I haven't got hit yet, but but sometimes you have to make them believe you're this character. And I remember there's one time where someone said that I wasn't scary or anything, and I just laughed as my character, and I was like, "You really believe I work here?" I was like, and I stepped closer, like face to face, and at that point, I was seeing if she's gonna hit me or not. But when I knew she was gonna hit me, then I put my hand around her, and I put my hand around her back of her head, and I was like, "I don't work here at all." And I said something else I can't remember, but she freaked out. And it just for me touching her and just saying that I don't work at this haunted house, she was like, okay, is this guy telling the truth or what's going on here? Like she didn't know what was going on. Like she didn't know I was someone just walked up and start grabbing people or what. But for me to saying that I don't work here, that kind of told him, like, all right, this, what's going on here? I know these actors aren't supposed to say this, so am I safe or not?
Well, that's very cool. I've never thought of something like that.
You're putting that sliver of doubt in their mind.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes to weird them out. Is he actually working here or is he not? When they've got that sliver of doubt, you've got them.
Yep.
Mentally, yeah. Because they're not sure.
Mm-hmm. It's really good, and after that I could see the fear and their cockiness flat goes away. So like before and then like all kind of like yeah blah blah. Then after I said that and actually touches like touch back their head or something, it just and then goes away because now they like a few. They don't know what's going on. They don't know they should watch out for me now or if they're safe or not. So the whole time now they keep their eyes on me, yeah. And it just I love it. It just that's one of the things I love to do is when people really think that. You know, okay, this is all fake, blah, blah. I was like, it's fake, but I'm not fake. I'm not fake at all.
You know, I'll tell you right now, one of my favorite lines is a line Keith taught me. And I use this on occasion, and you get up to a person, you sniff them, and you go, you smell different when you're asleep.
Yeah, I love that line.
That gets in their mind so hard.
Yep. That's actually good. Yep. That's one of my favorite lines to say, too, because Keith does make some good lines, and that's actually one of my favorite ones he does say. And that does freak people out. Definitely, like, you're right there by the ear, and you, they can feel your breath on their ear and their neck. They freak out.
But you gotta whisper it. It's got to be subtle.
Exactly, like soft. And just give them, like, that chills a little bit, like, whoo.
That goes right to their spine, and it's like, oh, boy, what am I in for now?
Oh, yes, for sure. It's really good. Yeah, I like those lines.
So –
if I could chime in real quick.
Go ahead.
When me and Mike was talking briefly before we started, he told me a story, and I was actually really intrigued by it, and I actually learned something. I don't even know if you realize that or not. But if you could, this goes back to backstory and knowing your character and being covered from head to toe. We're talking about Bill Paul. Bill Paul is pretty much a head-to-toe covered character. And we were talking about Bill Paul, and tell the story you told me about your clothing for Bill Paul and the backstory with the farmer's pants and the other and all that. How you combined all that?
Bill Paul is my character that wears a silicone mask and is my easiest character to get in and out of, and it became one of my favorite characters because I'm mostly him all the time because he's in and out. And but his backstory is he's an insane farmer. And it goes all the way back. The story goes all the way back that when he was a kid, his dad was a blacksmith, and he learned how to like undo locks and everything. So when the insane asylum capture him, he always escapes because he knows how to do the blacksmith unlocks and all that fun stuff. So, but pretty much. The outside looks like almost like a farmer outfit, but it's all torn up to pieces. And then you can still see the insane, it's like the same jacket, the same style jacket and the pants through the actual farmer pants because they're all ripped up. But the main backstory is he likes to go, and what he does with his victims is he plants a seed in their chest and buries the body and harvests them. And what happens is it grows like a human core, or like cob, like it's a human cob. And then that's what he likes. He likes to harvest his bodies. And he thinks that the human cobs are like the best thing in the world. So it goes more and more on depth about that. But I can go on hours. I can write a whole movie on all my characters, actually. Right. And Bill Paul is definitely one of them.
Right. And the reason I bring that up, because I think this is an important point in somebody – might, you know, take this and use it for themselves, is my background is professional wrestling, everybody knows. And I took my professional wrestling character and turned it into a horror character. And I actually have an outline of a movie script written about this character. And it's sort of the same basis of Bill Paul. He was in an insane asylum, mental institution. He broke out. But what I did in my story is only way I could justify changing my clothes was I found my box of clothes in the storage area, and then I took it and I changed completely. And not once did it dawn on me to where I could have said my clothes were, you know, and I went into the sewer. I went into hiding in the sewer system. And I never thought about modifying my wrestling outfit to where it was torn up or decomposed or corroded from chemicals, and then still having the insane asylum outfit underneath it. That never occurred to me. I think that's something very important for people to think. If you have a backstory that has two parts of their lives intermingling, that you can incorporate both of their outfits, that you don't have to just switch from one to the other. Yeah. And so that's what I took out of it. And I thought that was really intriguing. I was like, damn, you know, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm actually going to go back. And when I go back to my outline and my story, I'm going to recreate that part and rewrite that part of about my attire and my look.
Yeah, because Bill Paul was a farmer before he actually became an insane patient. So I was trying to somehow combine the two outfits together. And that's what I came up with. I was like, you know what? He's still got the same style outfit on, but he's wearing the farmer outfit over it. So it kind of blends both of them in a little bit. So.
Well, see, this is where, and this is where we're going to kind of lean towards the wrestling side of things. This is the beauty of character development. Now, Mike, Donnie, you both know character development's big in the Han industry, but it's also big in the wrestling industry.
Uh-huh.
You've got to create the right character. You want to get the boos, the cheer. You want to make sure you get a lot of boos or a lot of cheers. If you're not getting those, you need to do something with your character.
Yeah, indeed. Actually, that's why I picked Donnie, because I knew Donnie used to be a professional wrestler, and I knew that wrestling, you got to have a lot of acting skills too. And I was like, Donnie was a wrestler. He should know how to act a little bit. And I went hit Donnie. I'm like, hey, you want to be my butcher? And that's how it all started.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You
know? Yep.
Well, I know Shanks had his time in the in the wrestling ring. And, you know, as I spoke with Lanny Poffo last week, you know, Shank actually wrestled Lanny, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we tagged together in a match, yeah.
Okay, all right, all right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, character development, you know, Mike and I, we know character development. You know, we've been doing this a long time, and we know how to create these characters. But it's something that wrestlers need to work with too. I mean, you know, right now my daughter Shelby is working on her character. She's trying to develop because, you know, she's supposed to graduate in April, and you know, she's not quite there yet, but she's working on development of her character. But you've got to have a solid character that people can either be behind or boo. You know, you've got to get some reaction out of the crowd. And it's the same thing in Haunting. If you're not developed properly, you need to fix it. Because you need to scare the hell out of people or even make them laugh. Whatever works to get a reaction.
Yep. Indeed. Indeed, for sure.
So, you know, for you wrestlers out there that are listening, you know, think about what you're doing. Think about your character. Be your character. That's the important thing. You got to have that backstory and believe in what you've got. Because if you can believe in what you've got, then you're going to get a reaction out of the crowd. Primary, know what your character or who your character is.
I got a question for both of you guys. Okay. And when you're developing your character, you come up with the idea for a character first. Mm-hmm. Do you create your backstory for the character first and then your outfit, or would you create your outfit first and then your backstory?
That's a good question.
With me, actually, it could go two ways. Actually, with Bill Paul, what I did is I actually got the costume first, and I was like, all right, since I got this, this is how this happened. This is how this happened on this costume. And I made my backstory around my costume, actually. But I've done my backstory first, my clown character. I did my backstory with my clown character first. Then I made my clown. But I see you could go two ways. I've done them both ways.
Well, with my primary character, the Dean, he went through a lot of changes the first year. I mean, he started out, he was the dean of the Dent Schoolhouse. You know, he wore a trench coat with a necktie and a suit, you know, a shirt and jacket, whatever. But he evolved and he became a military man. So it's an evolution process. I went through a whole redesign the second year, where I bought the riding pants like Patton used to wear, and I even had dog tags made. That's how deep I am into my character. I have dog tags made, and I bought a military coat. I went on eBay and bought a bunch of medals. It's an evolution. You know, your character that starts at now isn't necessarily what's going to be the end character, but you've got to evolve. And the Dean started out with makeup and collodion to give scars, and he ended up with a CFX silicone mask with punched hair that he is today. And I'm not going to change that. That's the Dean. I've gotten that character down, and he won't change beyond that because that is him.
Yeah, one thing, like you guys mention all this is something I remember. Actually, I mean, I've heard it from numerous people before, but it didn't stick until we had Amanda Revenge on, and she said it. But every season, she says something changes in her outfit. It gets a little older, a little dirtier, some new tears, some new blood. And I always thought that I was like, man, that's, you know, that's pretty cool how that, you know, that, and you talk about the evolution.
That's what it is. It's evolution. You can't, your character can't look the same year after year after year. The Dean has gone through subtle changes. Not, I mean, you know, he was kind of drastic between the first year and the second year. But then there were subtle changes as I progressed and moved on and did other things. So there's little changes, but it's those little changes that make the difference.
Yeah, I just told Donnie this before we started that right now all my characters are on, like, on hold because I'm upgrading every one of them. Sure. And they're going to look more sweeter and more cooler than I've ever done with them. So soon enough, all my characters will get like a little touch up here soon, hopefully this year. This
season. Right on. Right on, right on. I know you're completely capable of it, Mike. I've seen what you've done in the past, so I'm anxious to see what you have in the future.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't wait, actually. So I got some good ideas. I can't. I just can't wait to do them. So hopefully I can add just money. Money. Yep. Yeah.
That's the Haunter's lament.
Yeah, the money.
You know, I got lucky when I redid the Dean in 2012, I don't remember when. Somewhere in there, 2011. I got lucky. I got a little inheritance. I was able to spend a little money. But since then, I've just made subtle changes here and there, you know, boots, pants, whatever. Buy Demonia boots. There. I've got three pairs.
Nice. Put down my notes.
They're not cheap, but I got really lucky on a pair. I found a pair at the thrift store. I got them for $10.
Nice.
And they're usually about 100 to 200.
Oh yeah, that actually all my costumes besides my clown, because I couldn't find a clown costume at a thrift store, but all my costumes came from the thrift store.
Okay. All my,
so thrift store is a definitely must in a haunt world.
But, you know, this applies to wrestlers too. I mean, you know, I know you've got your gear and you've got to, you know, you got to, you know, trademark your gear or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But think about what you're doing. And I'll put this out here right now for any wrestlers listening. Excuse me. If you have any problems with character development, reach out to me. Reach out to Mike. Mm-hmm. Reach out to Donnie. Yeah. Donnie does know, he'll call one of us.
Yeah.
You know, we're here to help haunters and wrestlers get to be the best character they can be.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, I know there's a lot of indie wrestlers out there that might struggle with a character and some that have pretty solid characters. One in particular, I'm gonna call him out on this, David Barnabas Spector. He's a manager. But he's got a great character.
Got a good look, yep.
He does. Reach out to us if you're having some problems, you know. We'll be more than happy to help you progress and make a character that's going to be memorable.
Yep, and the character doesn't have to necessarily be in the horror genre neither. It could be whatever.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Whatever kind of character you need or you're having trouble with, whether it be happy, sad, creepy, let us know. You know, I mean, you've got Mike here who's great with character development. I've been known to work on a little character development over the years. So,
you know,
there's a lot of resources that, you know, all you have to do is reach out and you know, let us know you need help.
Yeah.
There's no shame in asking for help.
Oh, man, I do it all the time. I'm always bugging you guys for stuff, asking questions. Yeah, whatever.
I don't mind telling. Like it's we're here together, so I would help anyone needs to be helped out.
Right, and wrestling and horror kind of go like this.
Oh yeah,
hand in hand.
Yeah.
You see, you know, a lot of wrestlers like horror. Not all, but a lot, you know, you see these at the horror conventions. you see what? You see horror and you see wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know? And to take a mention again to our friends at Squared Circle Expo, who did, by the way, did promote us this past week.
Yeah, I've seen that. Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm still excited about going out there for that.
I am too. You know, they promoted us this week, put us over, and we're going to put them over as much as we can because entertainment. You're here to entertain people, whether you're haunting or you're wrestling. The end result is still the same. Entertain people.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
And if I pick your brain a little more, Mike, and even Jim, like I said, this goes, all my questions pretty much go to both of you.
Sure.
Because you guys are a hell of a lot better than I am at it. how do you go about getting into character? And I know you were telling me a little bit, of course, again, off the mics, we were talking about it, and you was telling me how you get into character and stuff. And what's your guys' routine, I should say?
What I do is I go and I find myself pacing back and forth a lot and be my own little shell. And I just walk around and I get in my mindset, like, this is who I am. This is my backstory now. And I had to make myself believe I'm this character now. That's the only way this is going to work. And it's just kind of hard when you try to get in this character and you got people come up to, hey, what's up, Mike? Hey, going on? What's going on? I'm like, hi. I'm going to kill you. But, I get in the mindset, and then I go see where I'm going to be at. Like, say, if I get stuck in a scene, I go study my scene. And just not my scene, but I study all the scenes around me so I can work with every scene. Like, if I'm in a scene, I got to know all my scenes around me so I can come up with better lines and stuff to say, like, hey, beware this about to come happen, or hey, did you see this already? Or, you know, I it's easier to get in character if you know your scene also. So, well, and the scenes around you.
With me, being that, you know, I went from working in a specific haunt to being a traveling actor, but this goes back when I was still working for a specific haunt, and this goes all the way back to my first couple of years at Kings Island, Midnight Syndicate or any type of haunt related music that relates to my character, I would listen to.
Yeah.
Back at Kings Island, I would listen to Midnight Syndicate's The Rage because I was a doctor. I was a blind doctor, no eyes. And it's that music that just starts to pump me up. And I still relate that music to my character, to whatever character I'm playing. I will listen to that music before I start acting because it builds me up and it gives me the energy and I think about it. Now, I do a lot of what Mike does. I pace and it's all in my head, but that music actually brings more of it into my head. You know, like with the Dean, he would just dig something out that's really strong and powerful haunt music wise and stick it in his head. And of course, you know, I've got my other characters, like I would listen to something like Jerry Vane's Circus of Nightmares. I have a female clown character called Kinx. She's very frightening. Don't ever, no, she's scary. And I would listen to Circus of Nightmares, but I listened to some type of related music to the character I'm portraying at the time. I've got another good character I like to play called Crazy Lenny. And I'll listen to some Asylum type music. But whatever music's related to the character I'm playing, I will listen to kind of get me into that zone.
I agree. The music definitely does help a lot. I always listen to heavy rock, like Rob Zombie mostly. Yeah. I always listen to Rob Zombie, and it definitely helps get you in. Definitely, I'm more energy, more out there in your face, so that kind of helps me get out there and go nuts more.
Right.
So it does help a lot to listen to some good music like that, get you ready and prepared.
That's a key in my book, is the music for what your character is related to. Because it just pumps you up. It gets your adrenaline going. And you know that you're going to get out there. And that first person that comes out, you're going to scare the shit out of them. And it just builds from there. I mean, Once you get the first scare of the night, you're just so pumped up that you can't stop.
Yeah.
Now, besides music, does sounds help you any? Because a nugget I picked up again from Mike tonight when we were chatting is he said that one time he was getting into character into Bill Paul, and he was inside an old church, and he was like pacing back and forth trying to get into character, and he kept noticing that the floor was creaking. He said he just started focusing on that creaky floor and blocked everything else out, and he said that's what got him ready to go. So does that work the same for you, Jim? Like, does actual, like, different sounds beside music help you in any way? Or
absolutely. You know, sound effects, whatever they may be, again, if they're related to what you're doing, you know, one of my – okay, I will admit this right now. One of my biggest pet peeves in the haunt industry is the chainsaw. Now, with that being said, it is a very effective sound. Very effective, 99% of the time. I personally hate it. But if that's the type of character I'm working with, that sound builds me.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a couple of characters out there that could use a chainsaw. I've got one that doesn't have a name yet, but he wears coveralls, overalls, and a plaid shirt. So, yeah, it would work with him. I don't care for it personally, but I also embrace what it encompasses and what it can do to people that I'm scaring.
Yeah.
So, yes, sounds make a difference.
And what's your pet peeve with chainsaws? Is it because you think it's just like a cheap scare or something? Or
exactly, yep. It's a cheap scare.
I agree. Overused.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a cheap scare. Now, with that being said, you give a clown a chainsaw, that's fun. But a lot of times, the chainsaw is some kind of hillbilly type character. And it's a cheap scare, cheap but effective. It's a catch 22. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fire up a chainsaw, people freak the frick out.
Yeah.
But it's a cheap scare. I'm the type of person that wants to scare people on my own merit. I don't want to use a chainsaw to be the scare. I want to be the scare.
Right.
So you see what I'm saying?
Yep. Makes sense.
Good, cheap, but effective.
Yep.
Cool.
That's good.
It is. And, you know, the other type of noisemakers, I mean, at one point in time as the dean, I used to carry around what was called a boomstick. And it's simply a capacitor in a tube that makes a loud cracking sound, makes people jump.
Mm-hmm. And chains. I love hearing chains. For some reason, when I hear chains, it gets my mind. And actually, with Bill Paul, that's why I got chains on me, because when I walk, I have a chain on my leg. So when I walk, I can hear that chain dragging behind me, and it gets me more in the mood also. It gets my mindset, like, this is who I am.
The sound, I'll agree with that. The sound of chains is unnerving too. Matter of fact, this past season, my last season that I was actively working, I was Bigfoot. I have a Bigfoot costume. But you know what? It's hard as hell to see out of that thing. So my wife, Chris, was acting like a zombie soldier that he kidnapped or had captured the Bigfoot and had a chain around me. Nice. That chain would jangle as she was leading me around. You know, and people were like, oh my God, it's Bigfoot. And this Bigfoot costume makes me look like a foot taller than I am. And I'm 6'4". So,
yeah.
I love that costume, but it ain't gonna see much use.
No.
You know, it's hot.
Nice.
It's hotter than the silicone.
That werewolf one.
That's exactly why. and it's hotter than my silicone mask. So for the Dean.
The hottest costume I ever wore or I worn was Hrufkus. Hrufkus was the hottest costume and the hardest character I've ever done in my entire life. But it was the best character I've ever done. Right. Like, I can tell you stories and stories about the scares I got with that guy. And it was a great costume, and Screenlight Studios did really good on it. And I just I do miss Hrufkus, but I don't.
Hrufkus was on stilts, wasn't he? Was that the one on stilts?
Yeah. Hrufkus was actually my big push when I started this whole haunted attraction in Terra Park. Hrufkus was my very first character I've ever done.
Right.
And I've never done stilts, so that was kind of nerve wracking when I went to the first meeting, and he was looking at me like, "You done stilts before?" I'm like, "Nope." You want to? I'm like, let's do it. So, and it's really good because that's a big push, because Hrufkus was at Terra Park was like the biggest thing they had. Like, he was the mascot of Terra Park. And so it was a big honor for me from like a newbie going into this and getting picked out right off the back. Like, hey, you want to be the biggest character we have? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And I made it work. And actually, it's still one of my best scares I've ever had was with Hrufkus.
You know, you can't get my big ass on stilts. I'm sorry.
I ain't doing it. But
I will say my wife is a stilt walker.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
The Lady of Darkness. We've got a pair of nice stilts, and she a couple of years ago, she spent most of the season on stilts.
Nice.
But, you know, not me. No. And right now, it's just because I'm too damn big, you know, but I'm working on it.
Oh, maybe when you turn into Slim Jim, you'll be able to.
Slim Jim. Slim Jim. You think you're going to get me back to actively acting? Kiss my ass. but never say never. It's the haunt business, and they say the same thing in the wrestling business, don't they?
Right.
Right.
You retire, and then you're on a show the next month.
Yeah.
I'm not completely retired. I'm just kind of taking a step back.
All right.
This season is going to be, you know, whatever happens, and maybe go visit some haunts instead of working this year. But things can change. You know, you never know.
That's what I'm saying. Exact same thing. You just never know.
But you're a youngster, man. You're.
I know. I need to get back out. I need to get back out in the world.
I'm going to be 55 in a month.
Well, one of the newest things I'm working on to do for a new character is I'm trying to be a clown on a unicycle.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
I got the unicycle, so I've been training and practicing on that. So that's hopefully be one of the things I'd be a new character that like people would want to see is me as a new clown on a unicycle.
That'd be cool. Unicycles aren't easy.
No, they're not. They're not. I've bust my butt a few times already, so it's hard. It's actually pretty difficult, but I get a mastermind, and I'm gonna get it down. So
there you go.
I want this character to happen, so it's going to happen.
We need to put Donnie on a unicycle.
No, yeah, you ain't gonna see that. I'll tell you that much.
But you certainly won't see it from me. So
yeah. It's something that. Yeah, it's something I don't really see much, and I was like, you know what? I've really never seen a clown on a unicycle at these haunted houses or anywhere yet. I was like, I got a unicycle.
Yeah, like a circus maybe, but that's about it.
Yeah, I was like, I really don't see many actors, and be one of those things that a lot of actors can't do. So I'm like,
right.
Oh, I'll do this then. I've been training on it, so far I can only stay on it for like 2 minutes, but hopefully it can be longer than that soon.
But you're practicing.
Yep.
So, you know, 2 minutes is a lot longer than I could stay on a unicycle.
2 minutes longer than I could do it.
Right.
So, hopefully by the summer, I can be on it pretty good and make a clown out of it. So, be another new character I'll be working on here soon.
Everybody say hi to my wife behind me there.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, tell Dingling get out of the frame.
Everybody make it says, that bed.
Hi, Chris. Make that bed.
Tell her she should be making it on stilts.
Tommy says you should be making on stilts. She's giving me the evil eye.
That's scary.
Oh man, this has been awesome. This has been a great talk. any closing statements from Mike or Donnie? I mean, you know, we need to wrap it up here. And
pretty much if you get in a character, you really have to get in your mind that you're this character. And more in your mind that you turn yourself, you're this character, more it's going to show. And I can't stress that more enough. Like, you really have to put in your mind you're this character, and then things are just going to flow. And then backstory. You got to have backstory. More backstory you know, more lines you can come up with. And you won't, if someone, if a customer asks you something, you will have a answer right off the back instead of being just looking at them and like, oh, what to say now. Backstory is a must. So learn that, and then make sure you get in your mindset that this is the character you are, and go at it.
Amen, brother. I couldn't have said it better myself. That's why I'm glad we got you on this show, because you understand it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't understand it, but you get it.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to feel it. Like, you like, that's it. To make your character work, you have to feel this character. You have to believe yourself.
Yes. So. 100%. Donnie?
Oh, man, I'm just glad to be able to finally get him on. I knew he's full of knowledge.
Yeah.
And, like I said, I was looking forward to myself. Just like, you know, I always say I like to sit back and listen and try to learn stuff.
Right.
So it's always a pleasure for me to have people on that know a lot more about haunting than me, which is pretty much everybody. So it's like,
but you surround yourself by people who know.
Ain't that the way of success? You surround yourself with people that are smarter than you?
Absolutely.
See, you know, my madness.
Yeah, well, that's why I, you know, when it comes to wrestling,
right?
You know, it's like, darn it,
right?
But I, you know, Mike, you have a mindset that's very similar to my own. You understand this business, you understand how character development works, and I've always respected your work, man. You're an awesome scare actor.
Jeff, I actually remember you way back at Dent Schoolhouse days. You was back there by what was that called? The second haunt you guys had.
The Tension Hall.
That's it, yeah. You was out there in the queue line area, actually, if I remember right.
That's right, I was.
Because I used to go to Dent Schoolhouse every year to just visit and go through, and I remember seeing you out there staying in the queue line area.
Yep.
So, yeah. Good times.
I worked the queue, and I actually worked in the haunt itself. I loved that haunt because it was a 3,500 square foot maze, and I could weird people out because I could appear anywhere.
Yeah, it was good. That's what happened actually. One minute you're there, next minute you wasn't there, right. And next minute we was in there for 30 minutes.
Exactly. That's what was so much fun about it. Because you can keep people in there for 10 minutes. We keep people in there for an hour.
Yep. Good times.
Redirecting and, you know, misdirection. It's all fun.
Yep.
Awesome, guys. It has been a great show. This has been great information, not only for you haunters, but wrestlers too. And again, if you need help, reach out.
That's the main takeaway that I would like to point out on this too. You know, the main thing for a person that's doing some kind of entertainment and haunting and wrestling is their character.
Right.
The character, I mean, a lot of people just come up with some character and half-ass it and don't really believe in it or don't really live the character. And you need to make people, if you don't believe in the character, nobody else is going to believe in that character.
Yeah. Right.
And so character development is very important. So I encourage anybody that's out there, whether it be a wrestler or a haunter, to seek out assistance and guidance and ask questions to develop your character if you feel your character is not where you want it to be. You know, reach out to people that know how to develop that skill set and, you know, ask them to help you do that. And I think you'll see a huge difference in your performance.
Absolutely. You've got to believe in your character if you're going to make it. Whether it's haunting or wrestling, the character has to be believable.
Yep. Yeah. There's no other around it. Like,
exactly.
Passion to make it happen.
You've got to be believable or you're going to fall flat.
Yep.
So with that being said, Mike, thank you so much for finally getting on the Wrestle War.
Thank you for getting me on here.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, but you're here, and this won't be the last time we're going to have you on here. We're going to have
more
over the years. Donnie, great. You know, I'm glad you finally got Mike going.
Yeah.
I think this is a great informational show for wrestlers and honors out there. So stay tuned to Wrestle Horror. You never know what's going to come up, whether it's wrestling or horror. It's going to be one of the two. That's our name. I'm Meat Hook Jim, along with Donnie Hoover and our guest, Mike Newsome. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Peace out.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On our YouTube channel, the Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.